You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening with Greg Davies, the head of wealth at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. Greg, the Stock Exchange News Service is where we'll start. Short form announcement, unaudited, condensed, consolidated interim results for the 6 months ended 31st of August. The company is Equitas Property Fund Limited.
Yeah, as I saw it on my screen, I thought of my nemesis, my Twitter nemesis, Mr. Hazelwood, who was an expert on these REITs. So it just shows how, you know, if you join the stock market and become an expert on REITs, then I'm really worried about you. But a reasonable set of numbers. The share price down 1%, 2107. But if I remember correctly, it was quite bearish on this one.
Okay.
Still declared a dividend, and life goes on.
Yeah, you're not going to use this platform to conduct your own personal vendettas, are you?
Fair enough. That's the last of it.
Okay. But what did you, anyway, Equitas is a listed real estate investment trust, a REIT, with a focus on owning and developing modern, well-located logistics properties let to A-grade clients and on long-dated leases. We have established, they say, ourselves, they say, as a leading owner and developer of high-quality logistics assets in South Africa and the UK. Now, did I send you that graph yesterday about the way that the world trade volumes have fallen off a cliff recently? Now, if you're in logistics, that must be worrying for you, because that means that people aren't moving stuff around.
Yeah, distributions per share is at 74.4 cents compared to 68.12 in the comparative period, 31 August.
Hmm.
So it seems to be growing. And the share's trading quite well here, 21, 27. So certainly, I think, you know, people were calling the end of this one might have to take a new look at it.
Funani Limited, unaudited interim results for the 6 months ended 31st of August. Revenue down 27% to 170 million. Profit after tax down 35%. Headline earnings per share and earnings down 31%. NAV per share up to 298.8 cents. I don't know how that works, but anyway, not a great set of numbers. What do you know about Funani, Greg?
Yeah, it's sort of an investment holding company, really, and that's always the thing when they publish a NAV. That's generally the director's opinion. So 298, but I mean, you want to know the real NAV, you look where the share's offered, and that's R2.10. It's a small company. It's been around for quite some time. As I said, 210 and sellers. It's only traded 5,000 shares. It's 10,000 rand so far. So let's see how it progresses. There's there's a buyer sitting at 180, but after that, there's only a buyer at 120. So also a theme that we have each morning, that some of these stocks, there's just no liquidity.
Funani's performance, it says here, for the 6 months ended 31st of August, was significantly affected by a decline in the performance of the commodities trading segment. The commodities trading business encountered disruptions at its main operating site due to community unrest during the period under review. The disruption
resulted. That's got to be a uniquely South African.
What is that thing?
Company statement. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Let me go on. Let's read what they do to embellish this statement. The disruption resulted in an 80% decrease in production when compared to the prior period, which significantly reduced revenue and profitability. Funani generated total profit for the period of 19 million rand. What do they produce?
Yeah.
What is their commodity business, Greg? Do you know these things?
I'm going to my trusty handbook here. Let me put my glasses on.
Go on then.
Funani is an independent, black-owned and managed diversified financial services group with a unique that is unique within the South African operating context. The owner-managed culture is complemented with an entrepreneurial passion. Funani has successfully built a strong financial services platform.
Where does commodities come in then? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but been talking about commodities and they're talking about financial services.
Well, I suppose they're trading commodities.
Huh.
But just looking through the directors, if there's anybody that I might know, or Ethan Duby's there. The CEO. Something we need to do some research on. The major shareholders, I never heard of any of these. Baleen Capital's got 5%. Jumeirah Investments must be one of the directors, got 18%. And then Funani Group must have a parent. It's got 49.2%.
Okay, let's have a look at Mondi now. They've come out with a trading update, and it says this trading update provides an overview of its financial performance and financial position since the half year ended 30th of June, based on management information up to the 30th of September. They haven't been audited or reviewed. It says here, as outlined in our half-year results, demand in the third quarter remained generally softer across the markets in which we operate, and prices for key paper grades were well below those of the first half. Consequently, underlying EBITDA for the first quarter of 2019 was down 18% and so on. So a bad trading update, and the market doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's one. It's quite sort of kind of loved really by traders. It's volume and it's price action, and there's quite a bit of anticipation of this trading update. We don't know from RMB saying there's a slight miss on the forecast, but the market, as ever, taking its own view and punishing the stock. Busy with a conference call at the moment. We'll see what comes out of it. Right now, it's down 4%, 275 rand 4 cents. It's 11 rand 58 down. So. As ever, the JSE does know how to hand out a punishment if you don't do your work properly.
Here's one, Arvest, Greg. AH-Vest. What is that?
When you just know someone's... Well, I knew you were going to ask me this one.
Of course.
I looked it up. It's actually it's the all-gold tomato sauce. I know people are not going to believe me.
Go on.
But, yeah, it's a holding company which produces the all-gold tomato sauce.
It's a fine sauce.
Yes. And, I mean, I looked up the handbook as well, and they produce all kinds of soups and things, but for our purposes... it's all gold. It was listed under the name All Gold when it first came to the market.
Earnings per share of between 5.7 and 5.91 cents per share, being between 438 and 450% higher than the EPS reported for the comparative period ended 30th of June 2018. Obviously, some accounting niceties there.
Yeah, look, I mean, the market is the two... sort of understand of these things at the moment. We've got a buyer for 150,000 shares at 11, sellers of 65,000 shares at 49. It hasn't traded today. The last recorded trade is 10 cents. Market capitalization, it's 10 million rand. We both know people who can spend that in a month, I think.
If I had it, I would spend it in a month. Brycor Limited, trading update.
Oh, no, come on. I was doing so well.
Come on, Greg. I mean, you're a stock pro, for goodness. It's not as if you're analysing the S&P 500. There's only about 100 stocks on the JSE. Come on, give me Brycor.
What's the code there?
B-I-K.
Oh, it's Brickle.
Oh, I'd say Brycor.
It has been suspended. And it hasn't traded for quite some time.
Yeah.
Interesting that sweet of them to put out a trading statement
nice
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, headline earnings. It just shows you, I mean, how onerous is it to be listed on the JSE? They suspend you and you still have to do all the paperwork. You would have thought they would have said just leave it at that. Headline earnings per share is expected between 1.3 and 1.6 cents compared to the previous corresponding period of 0.4. So they actually did quite well. This equates to an increase of HEPS, even I can work it out, of more than 100%
well done.
When compared to the previous period. But we've just got to, I don't know, we've got to put all these little rats and mice in it on a separate exchange or something.
Yeah, I'll speak to the new CEO of the JSE Limited whenever he or she is announced. Let's have a look at the spot prices if we can now. 15.12 is the dollar rand. British pound against the rand is 18.51 and the euro rand is 16.66. The euro dollar is 110.17, slightly weaker dollar, slightly stronger euro, maybe misplaced Brexit enthusiasm. On the commodities markets, the gold price is 15.10, which is up $4 an ounce. Platinum is 891, which is down 2. Palladium, Greg, over to you.
1686, up $3.50.
Very good indeed. The Brent crude oil price is $58.51, down 22 cents per barrel. That's gone quiet for quite a while, which is gratifying, I suppose, as an importer, South Africa needs a quiet, stable oil price. The Dow Jones last night was up 182 points, which was 0.7%. The S&P was 0.9% higher. NASDAQ up 1%. This morning, the FTSE is about 0.5% weaker. The DAX down 0.4%. The CAC 40 in Paris is a 0.1% loser. Generally good stuff, though, on the Far Eastern markets. Nikkei, Shanghai, Hang Seng, and in Australia, they all share there up 0.4%. Greg, I've got a bet with Liston Mainchies. It's all to do with the S&P closing below 2888, I think it is. Go below there in the first hour of trading, in the early hours of Far Eastern trading this morning, the futures market, that is. But now it's bounced back again. What are my hopes?
Yeah, I think, look, I'm just looking at the futures. That's showing down 5.5. Yeah, you're probably going to reoccur. I think these trade negotiations with China, which are sort of almost fizzling out a little bit since your note earlier, I think the market will be disappointed. You might be on the money sort of if a little Friday afternoon sell-off comes through on the Dow. The Dow futures are showing down.
Well, 81. It's Thursday, so I mean, the date is the 10th today. So it's got to be today. I've got to get, I think, 22 points to the downside.
You never know. Mr. Trump might come to your rescue.
Speaking of which, I just want to bring up two things before we get to the big movers now. There's two things. People talk about Brexit, and I've had a couple of discussions this week with people that you know and people that you don't know. One of the Brexit stories is we mustn't be in the European Union because we don't want to have these layers of bureaucracy and these ridiculous regulations that we have to adhere to. Now, I've just watched something on the BBC this morning. Someone who's in charge of something said you're not allowed anymore to eat or drink on a bus or a tram or a train or whatever form of public transport that you choose. You're not allowed to. Now, I support that because I don't like watching people masticate on a bus, yeah, and they're chewing and they're slurping, etc., and then they throw their container on the floor and leave it there. I support that ban. But the reason for the ban was not because of the offensiveness of people eating in front of you. It was because they say that people are too obese in the UK, which they are, of course. But do you honestly think that because you can't eat on a bus, you're going to stop eating? No, you get off the bus and you go and sit down in a cafe or something and have a burger. It's the most absurd nanny state rubbish I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's problematic. Because I mean, say what you like about South Africa, but your level of personal freedom, you know, you just do whatever you really want. We don't really have rules here. And it'd be tough for us to adjust to something like that. But yeah, the POMs are definitely fatties, for sure.
Well, they really are. Real podsters. Now, Greg, you're a biker, right? It's the other thing. Before we get on to the markets, one more piece of political news. You're a biker, so you support bikers' safeties, whether it be a normal bicycle like mine, which I fell off 2 days ago, or whether it be your motorized version. You like bikes and you should be respected, correct?
Yes. I mean, the biggest problem here is obviously the potholes and the taxis when you're on the motorbike. You have to be hyper-vigilant.
There was a young man by the name of Harry Dunn. He was riding through the bucolic splendor of an English county about a week ago, and he was run over by the wife of a diplomat, an American diplomat, and killed. She then fled the country, went back to the United States, obviously because she's guilty, and nothing has been heard. She claimed diplomatic immunity, and that diplomatic immunity is, of course, quite valid under local and international law. Now, Donald Trump came out with a statement a couple of hours ago and said, you know what? She's living in the UK and we in the United States drive on the right-hand side of the road, so it's completely understandable. It was an accident. She was on the right-hand side of the road. These things happen. Now, as a biker, you've got to be offended by that, even though you love DJT.
Yeah, I'm sure. I must read up on the case. I'm just Googling while you've been chatting.
Harry Dunn is his name. He was 19 years old. Yeah. He loves biking. He's always loved being a biker, and he was run over and killed by an American diplomat's wife. And Donald Trump has said, because we drive on the right-hand side, then these things happen. It was an accident. What a load of offensive hogwash.
But have you ever been to the U.S. and Many tried
times.
To drive there?
Yeah.
I've driven in Los Angeles traffic.
Yeah.
And this driving on the wrong side, you don't realize how easily you can mess up. But listen,
what are you saying? You're supporting biking or are you supporting Donald Trump on this one?
No, you can't pin the whole case. You'd have to study what Mr. Trump is saying there. But
no, you don't.
I suppose accidents happen all the time.
There's no such thing as an accident. It was a crash.
Should have faced the law. You know, the British police are well known for being very, very fair. And she should have stuck around and made sure the kid was okay, or at least spoke to the parents and explained her side of it.
She's got to go back and face the might of the British legal system, unfortunately, for her. And, you won't hear the end of that one. Greg, let's have a look at the top five major movers on the JSE Securities Exchange this morning after 1.25 hours of trading. Truworths, we were talking about that. A little bit of a bounce back there, 2.7% higher. Anglo American PLC, 2% to the good. TFG, Fashini, 1.9% up. Motus up 1.9%. And Altron, also around about 1.8%. to the good. Truworths and TFG sort of leading the charge of the retailers.
Yes, I mean, we spoke yesterday afternoon on the Shadow. They were the two that we spoke about being knocked down the most. So somebody was obviously getting out of those two counters, and I should have imagined a few fund managers, you know, had a few phone calls in the evening, people saying, is there a story here? Why is the stock being sold down so much? Mm. And it was a head scratch, but I suppose people have sat down and said, well, you know, these share prices have been moved down too low. Let's put some money into them to bounce back. But perhaps a case of someone too hastily selling their stock yesterday and prices normalizing today. But no stories come out to explain those sharp downward movements yesterday.
On the downside, according to shanet.co.za, the worst performers are as follows. Mondi PLC down 3.8%, Sappi down 2%, Old Mutual a 1.75% loser, Implats down 1.5% to 104 and a bit, and AB InBev down 1.5%. Greg, stories there, please.
Well, obviously the Mondi being the trading update, and then Sappi in it, more or less in the same line of business, so that's sort of fallen back in sympathy. This Old Mutual story with the CEO, Mr. Moya, it just rolls on and on and on. And it's got to a situation when no one's prepared to really back down, really. And he's made a huge demand. I saw when I was away of 250 million, which is going to be a bitter pill for them to swallow. Impala Platts is taking a little bit of a breather, got up to sort of 106 this morning. In fact, pulled back to 104. AB and InBev, I suppose, just generally the European markets have been a little bit, certainly we spoke about the UK market being softer there.
British American Tobacco, please, because we have a small bet on this one.
Yeah, let's have a look. Have a look for a day or two. Oh, it's like you're on the right side at the moment. R517.50.
So I've got three times. How many was it? 2,000 Rand a point, or was it 20? I can't remember.
Oh, I'll have to look at my notes.
I think it's 20. Anyway, 60 Rand to the good, so that's a black label in any good bar in Johannesburg. Greg, give us the TSC indices after 1 hour and 20 minutes of trading, please.
Yes, the banks up 0.35, financials up 0.11, industrials up 0.42, the retailers bouncing back after that clattering yesterday up 1.1, gold index down 1%, they had to take a breather, Platts down 1%, resources up 0.03%. That leaves the all share up a third of a percent, 169 points better, 54,509. Just looking for volumes just under 2 billion at the moment.
Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. That was the opening, and Greg will be back with us for the 5 o'clock shadow later today. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.